Today, my dear faithful, is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, but you'll find today's Mass is taken from the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany. And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of your faith and labor and charity, and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election. For our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much fullness, as you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, which is towards God, is gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves relate of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all seeds. But when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all seeds. But when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There once was a young man, my dear faithful, by the name of Francis. He lived in a city of Italy called Assisi. There in Assisi, Francis was always the life of the party, as it were. He was prodigal with his money, freely spending it for his own enjoyment and that of his friends. You see, Francis's father was a wealthy merchant of cloth. And if anyone did not already know that, they soon came to know that through Francis. He freely gave away and spent his money. Drinks, food, clothing, he quickly bought up anything that could add something to their fun. So generous was he, so royal in his gifts, his friends named him their king, the king of their game. Much of Francis's life was spent in this way until war came to the city of Assisi. Francis took part in the battle, but Assisi was defeated, and Francis was captured and brought to prison. For a year, Francis was a prisoner, but after that year, he had a new purpose in life, a new dream. He dreamt of becoming a knight and achieving great renown. He could already hear it, the glories of his triumph on the lips of all men, and he hungered after it. His laughing spirit grew to an even greater height, so much that his friends asked him for the reason. He answered, "I know that I am now going to be a great prince." His father bought him the finest armor and gear, and Francis went off to war to riches and to glory. At least, that is what he dreamed of, but it was not to be so. Francis suddenly became sick. During his sickness, he heard a voice asking him what he wanted to do. "To be a knight," was his reply. "Tell me, Francis, who can benefit you the most, the Lord or his servants?" "The Lord," answered Francis in astonishment. "Then why do you desert the Lord," the voice demanded, "for the servant, and the prince for his vassals?" Francis then awoke, and understanding dawned upon him. He had longed to serve under earthly princes, to gain worldly honor, riches, and glory, but in the end, that would be all a waste of time. He finally saw the emptiness of his life. Francis returned home, but he was not the same man. He led a life of prayer and good works. He visited chapels, helped the sick, and gave generously to the poor. In one of his treks to do good, he came upon a broken-down church. He stopped in and knelt before the crucifix above the altar. And that was when he received the mission of his life. Our Lord upon the crucifix, the figure hanging on the cross, commanded him, "Now go hence, Francis, and build up my house, for it is nearly fallen down." Francis left that chapel and started on the road to become Saint Francis of Assisi. He gave up his wealth, his home, his family, in order to give his whole self to Christ. He was no longer known as a king by his friends, but as Il Poverello, or the little poor man. He left all things behind. The only good St. Francis desired was to love God more. One morning in the midst of his prayers, he asked God, "O Lord Jesus Christ, two favors I beg of thee before I die. The first is that I may feel in my soul and in my body the suffering which thou, O gentle Jesus, sustained in thy bitter passion. And the second favor is that I, as far as it is possible, may receive into my heart that excessive charity by which thou, the Son of God, was inflamed." St. Francis received both of these favors, for he was given both the stigmata with all the pains and sufferings this brings, as well as a burning, all-consuming love for God with all the peace and joy that this brings. He is now known as one of the greatest saints of all time. And yet, if you met him when he was a young man, you would never think that this great joker, this great laugher, that he would be the great Saint Francis. He began as a lax Catholic, always hunting for the pleasures of the world, and yet he became one of the greatest saints of all times, with his eyes firmly set on God and heaven. St. Francis' life resembles closely the parable our Lord told in today's Gospel. In today's gospel, our Lord compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, the least or smallest of all seeds. But when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs and becometh a tree. When you look at a seed in your hand, isn't it truly an amazing thing that it can become a great tree that towers above you? Our Lord in today's gospel compares this seed's growth to the beginning of the kingdom of God. The beginning of the kingdom of God is sanctifying grace, for sanctifying grace is what makes us members of the kingdom of God. That seed of grace that each of us receives at our baptism, it can and it ought to grow and develop and flourish and become a great tree of sanctity in each and every one of us. If it does not, then it will be stunted, weak, and liable to die. Now, the measure of the growth of sanctity is the measure of the queen of virtues, that of charity. Sanctifying grace and charity are tied together like a heart and a body. One cannot exist and live without the other. And as each one grows or lessens, so the other grows or lessens. Charity is defined by theologians as a divinely infused virtue by which we love God as the highest good for his own sake, and our neighbor as ourselves for the sake of God. We are to love God as the highest good because that is exactly what he is. He is infinite goodness itself, infinite beauty, infinite justice, infinite mercy. We are to love him then as he deserves, and that means to love God above all others and above all things. Even our charity for our fellow man is to be subordinate to our charity for God. This is because not only is God the highest good, but as the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola points out, everything you have, every good is a gift from God. Your possessions, your family, friends, neighbors, the air you breathe, the sun that lights your day, the moon that brightens your night, every single thing that exists in your life was created by our Lord for you. They are his gifts to you, tokens of his love for you, and small mirrors of him given to lead you to him. They are small mirrors of him because each created thing is a reflection of the perfections of God. Look at the beautiful Catskill Mountains and see the majesty and grandeur of God. In the sun, see the brilliance of his glory. In the millions of stars, see his generosity. Then think of your family, your friends, anyone that loves you, and know that God gave these people to you as a small reflection of the infinite and eternal love our Lord has for you. All this our Lord has done for you, and he asks for one thing in return, that you love him. That is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength. This commandment is just a restatement of charity and its obligations. That we love God as the highest good, and all others for the sake of God. The things of this world, whether they are persons, places, or things, must be held lower than God. We cannot let these things get in the way of our following the law of God. St. Francis of Assisi, as a young man, was satisfied with mediocrity. He was consumed with the things of this world, with having a good time with his friends, enjoying the pleasures that are here one moment and gone the next. However, he received a special grace, and St. Francis finally saw how much of a waste his entire life had been up to then. He had lived for over 20 years, and what did he have to show for it? Where were all those empty enjoyments that he had spent so much time on? They were gone, and they were never to return. What had he to show for eternity? What merits had he earned for his place in heaven? He had let the things of this world get in the way. He looked to the gift and forgotten the giver. He sought out the servants and forgotten our Lord. His sanctifying grace was thus stunted, weak, and even liable to die. That happens so often to mankind. We become consumed with the things of this world and often hunt after them as if that is all that matters. The infinite God, who has given us all these good things to draw us to Him, is so often ignored. As our Lord told St. Margaret Mary, "Behold this heart which has so loved men, and in return I receive nothing but ingratitude." We must strive then to love God, my dear faithful, to love Him and prove our love for Him by obeying His laws. Keep the life of grace in your soul. The first and most practical step to do this is avoiding the occasions of sin. Think, is there a particular occasion that has led me into sin in the past? Is there some particular person, place, or thing that provided the occasion for the sins that I have committed? Some form of entertainment, movies, television, music, internet. Or some place of entertainment, or is it a friend? If there is anything that repeatedly leads you to sin, then you must turn from it. If possible, cast it out of your life. The second step to take is to ask, am I faithful to my duties to God? You can go through the commandments and ask yourself if you have fulfilled each one, such as the Sunday obligation. Do I make the effort to make it to Mass on Sunday? To take my place at the foot of Calvary? For that is what the Mass is. The Mass is our Lord's crucifixion on Calvary, made present on our altar. Ask yourself, do I make the effort to come to Mass to show God my love for Him? In this way, my dear faithful, avoiding the occasions of sin and fulfilling your duties to God, you will prove your love for Him. You will protect that seed of sanctifying grace and make it grow in your soul. That grace will grow into a great tree, as it were, a living bulwark against the attacks of the devil. But greatest of all, you will be a comfort to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. You will return love to Him when He finds Himself so ignored, so despised, so hated. He will find in you at least a faithful servant, and you will receive a priceless reward from the King of Kings, the reward of everlasting happiness in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.